Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you this week from Bali, Indonesia. I'm your host, Mark Troutman. This educational, personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. Well, I made it. I am now on the opposite side of the globe from Colorado. As you can see behind me, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see this glorious view I have from my balcony in my villa in Munduk, which is in the northern part of Bali. So I'm here with a handful of friends before the Phi Freedom Retreat hosted by Amy Minkley. And we're hanging out a little early, checking out some waterfalls, and we'll be going to some temples today. We'll be riding some scooters, and we're just going to have an awesome time before the event starts later this week. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some travel tips, both monetary and non-monetary, when making a big trip like the one I'm on now. I'm over here in Bali. It's halfway around the world. It was about a 36-hour trip from Colorado on three different planes with a handful of layovers. And you may hear some motorcycles in the background. That's pretty common around here. Some birds chirping. There's some people working in the fields behind me. So it's a pretty cool place, but it takes a lot to get here. So let's talk a little bit about first, maybe the non-financial side of things. So how did I kind of organize this? Well, Amy did a lot for the event itself, organizing the housing and so forth, but I had to arrange my own transportation. I had to arrange lodging for my time before and after the event. I have no affiliation to anything that I'm going to mention on this podcast. These are just tools that I've used for my own benefit when traveling and have found them very helpful. When booking accommodations, I found the site booking.com to be very good. It lists a number of options for reservations like this one I'm in now. There are five individual villas. There is a infinity pool overlooking this quaint rice field, rice paddy, just beautiful. It's a small establishment, but it's listed right there on booking.com. So you'll find a lot of good options on that site. And the nice thing about using a site like that is I'm interacting with one platform, and I can make all of my bookings at these different places through that one platform. I have my credit card associated with that. In many cases, I can either pay in advance or pay at the property. So I like the idea of having that one contact point, and I like the idea of being able to pay through the app. And also, if I need to cancel or change my reservation, it's fairly easy to do. In many cases, there's free cancellation within as short as 48 hours. Other times, like in this place, I actually decide to go with a non-refundable booking and save some money as a result. And if I need to communicate with the properties directly, I do it through that app. So it's very nice and not having to find different phone numbers for different properties and figuring out how to communicate. I also did use some points, not on booking.com, but on some Hyatt reservations I made. After Bali, I'm going to Singapore for a couple of days. A lot of people in the financial independence community like to use Hyatt because the redemption for points is very good. So many people will accumulate points in the Chase portal, which is what I do, and then transfer points to their partners, such as Hyatt or airlines like United or Southwest or Singapore Airlines, for that matter. And that's who I flew here, for example. I'm staying at a Grand Hyatt here in Bali for one night before I leave for Singapore because it's near the airport. It was 8,000 points, so that's a pretty good redemption. And then I'm staying at a pretty fancy hotel, or at least I think it's fancy. And one of the attendees that's coming to this event stayed at that hotel on the way over, so I'm very anxious to hear about it. It's called the Andaz Singapore, and that was 20,000 points a night. So I'm expecting it to be pretty nice. So we'll see about that. Maybe I'll report back on that. As far as airlines, I booked a United flight from Denver to LA, and I used points to do that. And I had a flight from LA to Singapore, and then from Singapore to Denpasar, which is in Bali, on Singapore Airlines. And because those two tickets weren't connected, I was a little nervous about if there was a delay in my United flight, what would I do? So what's pretty cool is I booked another flight as well, a backup flight on Southwest, also using points. Both of these points were transferred from my Chase portal. And the neat thing about Southwest is if you book with points, and I think it's also if you book with cash, but if you book with points, which is what I did, I can cancel that flight up to 10 minutes before the doors close without any issue. And they just redeposit those points into my account. So I had a second flight reserved on Southwest in case there were any issues with the United flight, and I could just jump over to that Southwest flight. So that got me to thinking about how I'm going to pack, for example, because I wanted to be able to carry everything on at least that first leg, that Denver to LA leg, so that if I did have to change airlines from United to Southwest, for example, I could just walk over with my bags and not worry about my bags being checked on a different flight and having an issue with that. But everything worked out, no problem. I was able to stay on the United flight. It was on time, and I just canceled my Southwest flight, which was scheduled to depart a little less than an hour after my United flight. So as soon as I was on the United flight, everything looked good. I just canceled the Southwest flight, and those points were redeposited into my account. The Singapore Airlines flight, pretty neat. I did not fly business, but I flew what's called premium economy, which is like a first class type seat domestically that you would see on a plane. So it doesn't lay flat entirely. I did pay with cash for that flight. I bought that ticket a while back. It was a pretty reasonable ticket, and I paid with cash and was non-refundable. I probably should have booked a refundable ticket because a number of participants who are coming to this event were able to get business class seats on Singapore Airlines for the trip. And I think it was around 70,000 points one way, which is a really good redemption for a business class seat. Crazy. Or it might have been 100,000, but even so, that's a really good redemption for a business class lay flat seat. And Singapore Airlines is just really, really nice airline. Now, my trip, originally, I was going to fly to Bali and then back home. But then some friends came up with an idea of doing this Australia-New Zealand trip, and I went to change my ticket, and Singapore said I could change my ticket, but I had to start and end at the same location. So they could change my ticket so that I would then fly from Bali back to Singapore, because that's a hub, and then from Singapore to Australia, but then I would have to come back to LA because that was my starting point, and they would be able to book me through Singapore, but I was going to create this just massive additional time, and I wasn't going to save all that much money. So what I ended up doing was just, I'm going to walk away from the back end of that ticket. And I was able to get a flight on American from New Zealand, because that's where we were going to end up on our cruise. Again, on a premium economy seat for a pretty good price. And I did pay cash for that one. I do not have American Airlines points. And I guess I do have probably a travel partner somewhere on one of my cards that I could move the points, but it was a really good cash price. So I just ended up buying that. The other thing that is super beneficial from a jet lag standpoint, I guess you would say, is there is an app called Time Shifter, and I used it last year and I had really good success with it. I am 14 hours apart from Colorado here. So that's a major shift, right? So you would expect some pretty significant jet lag, but there's this app called Time Shifter. Again, no affiliation. I've used it. I just enjoy it. I think it's great. And you load your flight information and it builds a custom plan for you, adjusting your sleep and light exposure schedule in advance. Usually about 3 days in advance is when you start adjusting things like how much light you're getting during the day, when you're going to go to sleep, and so forth, because it's changing your, I guess, circadian rhythm slowly so that when you arrive, you are not going to have major jet lag, and then it will adjust for a day or two after you've arrived at your destination. We tried it last year. We, meaning the people that came over with me last year, we all tried it and it worked great. And your first trip is free. And then this year I decided to subscribe to it. There's an annual subscription or a per trip fee. I decided to do the annual subscription because I have a number of international flights. And if you do the annual subscription, it's unlimited number of trips. So for me, the math worked out because of the number of trips I have, it was better to go ahead and do the annual subscription. So it worked great again for me. So I'm super happy about that. The other thing I did in advance was we are renting scooters over here. They don't really require a motorcycle license, although I do have a motorcycle license, nor do they require an international driver's license, or at least the people that rent you the scooters don't. But as I've been told, if you get pulled over by a police officer for any reason, or for instance, you had an accident, having that international driver's license is very beneficial, if not necessary. You can go to AAA, for example. You just bring your U.S. driver's license, you go into AAA, say, I would like an international driver's license, and for around $30, issue this international driver's license for you. And we are renting a car in Australia, and I do know that it's required for that. So I had it last year. I didn't actually ever use it for any reason, but like I said, very beneficial to have. I have a motorcycle endorsement on my driver's license. So I've been told by some people that if you had a, let's say, a medical issue, and your insurance company could say, hey, you were riding a scooter and you don't have a motorcycle license, we're not going to cover you or something like that. I've never heard that to be the case, but I guess it is beneficial to have that motorcycle endorsement and also get that international driver's license with that motorcycle endorsement if you have that. Now, let's get to the money side of things a little bit. I brought some US dollars with me. I always do that kind of as a safety net. I could exchange that for foreign currency if need be. Many places, people are happy to take US dollars, but I just use it as a backup. Or if I just was in the airport and wanted to make a quick change just so I had some local currency when I got off the plane, I could do that. It's not necessarily going to be your best exchange rate if you use those walk-up money changers. The best way to get money is using an ATM card. So you put in your US ATM card and you will get that local currency out. And many of us that travel internationally have found that the Charles Schwab checking account with the associated ATM card is very beneficial because there are no foreign transaction fees and they reimburse any ATM fee if there were one. It doesn't look like there are any here, but if there was an ATM fee, that would be reimbursed and there are no foreign transaction fees. In addition, you get the institutional exchange rate. So if you look at the boards here, for example, the Indonesian rupiah or rupee, I think it's rupiah, is about 15,000 rupiah to the dollar on the walk-up kiosk. But I looked at my last ATM withdrawal and I got 15,600 in change because the institutional exchange rate is so much better than the walk-up rate. So that's another benefit. And then a lot of people will take credit cards. So the credit card approach is very interesting and it's been evolving over time. So I bring a few credit cards with me. The ones that have no foreign transaction fees, those tend to be your travel-related cards. For me, it's the Chase Sapphire Reserve or the Capital One Venture X or American Express, but I don't believe that's welcomed as much internationally. I could be wrong, but I tend to rely on the other two primarily. You're also getting, like I said, no foreign transaction fees. You're getting good exchange rates when they're exchanging into US dollars on your bill. And then I've talked to a number of people that are traveling here with me, and what they've chosen to do, which is just genius, in my opinion, is load their credit cards into their Apple Wallet. And the reason being that many vendors, even small, like really small restaurants here, take contactless payments using things like Apple Pay or Tap to Pay. And so you basically just present your phone, you've selected the card in your Apple Wallet, and you double click or whatever you need to do to authenticate the transaction. And it's just done seamlessly, electronically, and you're not handing your card. No one has the ability to see your number. And so it's a really good way to pay around here. So a lot of people are saying, hey, I just bring my phone with my Apple Pay, and then I do bring some cash in case for some reason the Apple Pay is not accepted. But literally, I've not run into a situation where it has not been accepted. So that's even better than carrying around credit cards in your wallet, for example. We all probably have them with us, but we don't carry them with us as we're walking out and about. The other thing is, I did notify Charles Schwab, for example, that I was traveling, and they were appreciative. I told them what countries I was traveling to so I wouldn't have any issues with the ATM. Then I went to contact Chase for my credit card, and they said, we don't require that anymore. Our fraud detection systems are good enough, that's not necessary. And I guess AI is making that better for all of us, so that's pretty good. What about cell phone usage? What I did was I pre-purchased eSIMs. That's like an electronic SIM card, which most new phones accept these days. And my phone, for instance, is an iPhone 11. I have a physical SIM for my local number, but then I can have eSIMs. I can load many eSIMs, but only use one at a time. So what I do is I use an app called Arelo. And I'll put that in the links. Again, I have no affiliation. It's just what I use. And there's plenty of other eSIM apps out there too, but that's the one that I use. What I do is I look at the countries that I'm going to be visiting, and I buy eSIMs for each one of those countries, or you can buy regional SIMs. For instance, when I was in the Mediterranean this past year, we were in multiple European countries, and you could buy a regional SIM that covered all of those countries. So you didn't need a SIM for each country like Greece, Croatia, Italy, etc. And here, I'm primarily in Indonesia, so I have an eSIM for Indonesia. And then when I go to Australia and New Zealand, they have one called Oceania, I believe it is, that covers both Australia and New Zealand, or you can get individual ones for each country. The regional ones tend to give you a little bit less gigabyte usage per time period for the same amount of money. So the local ones are a little cheaper on a per gigabyte basis, I guess you would say. But we're talking very minimal amounts. I think my eSIM for Indonesia was less than $20. And my eSIMs for Australia and New Zealand were approximately that, $20 or less. And for a pretty good amount of data, I think it was 5 gigs or 10 gigs, which is plenty as long as you're not doing like video downloading or watching Netflix on your phone. And you can do that, but just do it in Wi-Fi. And then speaking of Wi-Fi, there is Wi-Fi nearly everywhere, every single restaurant, every single hotel. But be careful about that, because you want to be, from a security standpoint, you want to be very careful about your Wi-Fi usage. So what you want to do is you want to have a VPN, which is a virtual private network, activated on your devices when you're using Wi-Fi. And if you're going over cellular, that's fine. But I do have VPN typically activated all the time for extra security, so all of the data movements are encrypted. And then what about phone service? What I did there was it was recommended that I forward my US cell number to my Google Voice number, which I do have a Google Voice number. And you could create a Google Voice account. They'll assign you a number, and you could forward your US cell number to that. And here's why. These eSIMs, for example, are usually data only. So you're not going to receive phone calls from your US phone number if you were to use the travel plan at your U.S. carrier, for example. Some I've seen are $100 a month, others are $12 a day. So pretty expensive relative to using a data eSIM when you're traveling. So the workaround is forward your U.S. cell number to your Google Voice number, and then anyone who calls that number is going to likely leave a message in your Google voicemail box, and then on your Google Voice app, you will see that you got a phone call. You can listen to the message, or in many cases, it's being transcribed to you in an email, and then you can just call that person back. And the way you do that is you make sure you turn Wi-Fi calling on your phone before you leave your home country. And also before you leave your home country, that's when you want to forward your cell number. So while you're still in that local service area, you want to forward your number and make sure Wi-Fi calling is turned on. And then when you want to call somebody back, you can just call when you're in Wi-Fi over Wi-Fi. The other thing that many of us do, pretty much everyone who's traveling international, they use WhatsApp for texting. The regular iMessage will still work in most cases. Standard SMS texting may or may not work. WhatsApp will work everywhere. WhatsApp is the default go-to for texting purposes, and you can also call over WhatsApp. You can leave voice memos over WhatsApp. That's really the way we all communicate with each other. And then, of course, email will work no problem. So that's the other way to make sure that if people need to reach you, they certainly will be able to email you. You'll be able to get your emails when you have your data eSIM turned on or when you're in Wi-Fi. So that works seamlessly without any issues. So I just tell people, contact me through WhatsApp or email. If you're going to call me, you're going to go to my voicemail. I will try to call you back over Wi-Fi, or best option, let's just communicate over WhatsApp and email. And then the last thing is getting around. How do you get around? Because, you know, you could certainly rent a car, but in many of these countries, cars are tough to come by for rental purposes, especially like Indonesia. Cars really aren't that great because the traffic is pretty bad. A scooter is much better. So we find ourselves renting scooters when we're in Indonesia. And when we were in Europe, for example, Uber was available. So we actually were able to Uber in Athens, for example, with the standard Uber app. So that worked. In Indonesia and other parts of the world, apps like Grab, which is effectively like an Uber, are pretty widely available. And then in Indonesia, Gojek is another one. It's a little cheaper. It's kind of like the Lyft version of Grab, I guess you would say. So as Lyft is to Uber in the United States, Gojek is to Grab in Indonesia. So usually a little cheaper. And then both of those services also offer things like food delivery, and you can even get rides on the back of a scooter, which sounds a little intimidating. It was for me the first time I did it, but it's the easiest way to get around here. Cars tend to sit in traffic a lot, and cars are harder to get and more expensive. So jumping on the back of a scooter, especially if it's a short few-minute ride, is the easiest way. And for instance, here in Indonesia, you're paying less than a dollar typically for a ride of up to, let's say, 5 kilometers or a few miles. So that's a really good option. You'll want to download the Grab app, potentially the Gojek app. I have found that it's beneficial to load your credit card information into those apps while you're in your home country, because credit card companies, their security systems are sensitive to the fact that if you try to load a card in an app overseas, sometimes it won't allow it because it thinks that is not you, for example. So do that when you're in your home country and then have it all set up and you're good to go. I hope those tips are helpful. I thought it would be fun just for you, if you're watching on YouTube, to see this pretty cool environment that I'm in right now, give you some of the tips on what I found beneficial for a big international trip halfway around the world to a country I was unfamiliar with. And these are all tips and notes I've received from other people who have been doing this far longer than me. And I thought it would be beneficial to pass this along. You don't have to be going to Indonesia for these tips. These tips will work pretty much in any international country for the most part. And these are all things I've learned over my past few trips. And like I said, I'm continuing to learn. I wanted to pass that along. And the big tip for this trip so far has been to use Apple Pay when you can. And I didn't even think to use it. I was carrying my credit card thinking I had to do that. And fortunately, in the restaurants, for example, they have the mobile devices, so you're just tapping in front of them. I would never hand a card to somebody who then walks somewhere with it, because there's the risk that they could take a photograph of it. But pretty much everyone here is now using contactless tap payment, or like I said, the Apple Pay at your table, for example. Or you walk up to the counter and do it there. So it is getting a lot more secure in that respect. But I do like this, the Apple Pay option and using ATMs to get cash. So those are my tips for the week. I do have a bunch of friends here who are with me. I will hopefully grab a few of them to have some conversations. So in the next few episodes, hopefully you'll see some guests come in. And who knows where the conversation will go. It's always interesting to have these conversations with people over here. And we will see. So until next week, hopefully this comes through on time without any challenges technology-wise. And you will hear or see me, if you're watching on YouTube, next week. Until then, have an awesome week. See ya. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. If you would like me to answer a question on the show, please send it to mark@marksmoneymind.com and put podcast question in the subject line. Let me know your first name, or let me know if you would like to remain anonymous, and also your state of residence if you choose. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend this show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next week on the Mark's Money Mind show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. And now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.